is away. Now, can you think of a time where you were given something for free? You were just given something for free. What have you been given for free, and what did that feel like? Has your teacher ever just given you a treat, like maybe a sweet? Yeah, has that ever happened? What does it feel like when someone gives you something for free, like a gift? Yeah? Very nice, right? Maybe it's been your teacher has said, you know what, today we're going to go play on the Astro during our maths lesson. How would you feel if your teacher said that for you? Would that, put your hand up if you think that would feel really great, right? Okay, yeah, I think that would feel really fun. So we love getting things for free, right? What about when someone takes something from you and you lose something? Have you ever had something that you really cared about and someone else took it away from you? And then you didn't have it anymore? You've probably all had this happen to you too. And that doesn't feel good, right? Well, the Lord said something interesting. He says he's given us lots of things for free. But then he tells us we have to give them away. He was sending his disciples to go use their gifts that he had given them to serve others. And he said, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staves, for a worker is worthy of his food. So the Lord here is saying they had to go out and they had to give away the things that they had been given by him. And he said, don't take anything with you. This would be like going on holiday and not packing anything and just trusting that people would give you the things you needed. Wouldn't that be kind of scary? To go out into the world with none of the things that you needed? That would be really, really hard. But the Lord said, if you do this, people will look out for you and they'll take care of you. If you give things away that you've been given, you'll get things in return. So I want to illustrate this with a few volunteers. So who'd like to volunteer? Okay, why don't we have you come up, and you can come up, and you. Oh, someone from way back there, the far, far, far end, the one the way at the end of the line, why don't you come this side too? Why don't you guys, I just pointed out, if you figured out who you were, come this side, you can stand right here. How many do we have? Five. Okay, five. This should be good. Can you stand in a circle right here? Right here. Just stand in a circle, okay? Good. Let's get into a circle. Okay. And I'm going to get each one of you take a stone. Okay. All five of you have a stone now. Okay. All five of you have a stone, right? Okay. Here's what I want you to do. Take your stone that you've been given and pass it to the person to your left. Okay. That's this way. Okay. Pass to your left. Everyone pass your stone to the left. Okay. Who here gave away their stone? Put your hand up if you gave away your stone. Okay, put your hands down. Who here still has a stone in your hand? Put your hand up if you still have a stone in your hand. Well, how does that work? You all gave one away, right? Didn't you all give away your stones? How do you still have one then? Because someone next to you gave you theirs, right? Now, we could keep doing this, right? You could give away your stone hundreds of times, and none of you would actually lose anything. It would just go in a circle, right? Now, I'm going to do something. Who wants to be the mean person here? Okay. You can be the mean person, Yenzo. That's great. Everyone except for Yenzo passed your stone to the left. Okay, so you pass there. You guys pass to each other. Pass to the left. Pass around to the left. Okay. Looks like people are, yeah, pass to Yenzo. She can keep. All right. Not everyone has a stone anymore, right? Because people were holding on to them. So now some people don't have any, right? When we don't give anything away, other people start losing the things that they need too. All right, thank you guys. You can put your stones back in the basket. You can go back and sit down in your seats too. The Lord is telling us something with this. He's saying, if you take the things that you've been freely given and you give them away, guess what happens? Other people give to you too. And if we're all doing this, we're all sharing, we're actually never going to run out. Now, it's scary because you might think, oh, I need to hold on to what I've been given. I don't want to share it with anyone because then I'll have nothing. Now, here's the cool thing. Even if the people around you aren't helping you, the Lord is always going to give you more. The more you give away, the more the Lord gives to you. Now, this isn't just talking about things like money and toys and things you share like that are physical. It's talking about things like love. The more you give love to other people, the more the Lord gives you love. And the more he gives you love, the more you have to give. And you never run out. So let's remember this. Freely you have received. You have been given so many blessings for free. Freely give those away. And the more we give those away to each other, the more each of us will actually have from the Lord. So we're going to carry on with the theme that we started in the children's talk of giving and receiving, but with a little different angle. So I want to start by asking you a question, and I am inviting answers from you if you're willing to share. I want to start by thinking of the things that you have earned in your life. What I mean by that is things you have worked hard for, you've put a lot of effort into, and your efforts have borne fruit. You can now look and say, because I put that work in, I now have something good in my life. Is anyone willing to share something you've worked for in your life? Old age, yes. Although I don't think there was much work that went into that. Education, fantastic. Yeah, working through education. Marriage. Your marriage, absolutely. That takes a lot of work, and that bears fruit. Good health. There's something that I think probably most of you have that was standing up here singing a moment ago that you've probably put a little bit of work into, and hopefully it's borne some fruit, and it's a good thing. We, I'm sure, have all had that experience of working hard for something, putting in effort, having it succeed, and then saying, you know, I'm almost being proud. I'm proud of where I am. I'm proud that I have this good thing in my life. And you wouldn't have it if you hadn't worked hard for it, if you hadn't made certain choices. So you can be proud of those achievements, and you can take satisfaction in the fact that you made good choices and put in the effort to get where you are today. But in a very real sense, every good thing in your life is a gift. Every good thing in your life is a gift from the Lord, freely given. No matter how much it feels like you earned it, it's also a gift. There's a parallel here with what the Lord did for the children of Israel. In the Old Testament, it describes them coming out of slavery in Egypt, and the Lord's going to lead them into this land of Canaan. He says, in Canaan, you're going to find all these things that you didn't work for, and you're going to benefit from them. But remember, these are gifts. This is what it says in the book of Deuteronomy. It says, so it shall be, when Jehovah your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities, which you did not build, houses full of all good things, which you did not fill, hewn out wells, which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget Jehovah, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of slavery. So just like the children of Israel were going to benefit from all of these things that they did not create themselves, all of these earthly blessings, we also benefit from countless things that the Lord gives us freely. And that's even true in the case of things that you have earned. Because all of the things that you've succeeded at that are truly good, it was the Lord doing it through you. It was the Lord who gave you the love and the inspiration that motivated you to take action in the first place. It was the Lord who gave you the wisdom and the insight to be able to make a plan and then carry it out. It was the Lord who gave you all of the tools and all of the resources, even who gave you your very body that enabled you to do what you needed to do to put your passion and your skills to use. All of that came from the Lord. And he gave it to you freely. You didn't need to first earn it. You didn't need to prove that you were worthy. You didn't need to deserve it. It's easy to be grateful for the things that are an obvious bonus. We're like, well, it just happened. You know, I won the lottery. That's easy to be grateful for that. It's a bit more challenging to remember to be grateful even for the things that we've worked really hard for. And we feel like we've earned by our own work, on our own, by ourselves, even those things. We can remember to be grateful to the Lord that he led us to do that work and gave us the ability to do that work. Now, what's the point of remembering that, of thinking of this? I mean, partly it's just, well, that's the reality. The word says the Lord gives us everything good. Everything good is from the Lord. And it's good to acknowledge. If that's the reality, it's good to acknowledge that. But it also gives us an opportunity for gratitude, to be able to say thank you, which is also a good thing. But more than that, it can remind us of our responsibilities to other people. As the Lord points out, freely we have received, so freely we ought to give. You know, the recognition that we have something to be grateful for, something given as a gift that we didn't have to earn, if that's true, it kind of imposes an obligation on us, right? If we've been given things freely, who are we to withhold things from other people who maybe haven't earned our favor, who don't seem to deserve what we have to offer? That responsibility to other people is a natural consequence of gratitude. You have something to be grateful for. You kind of have a responsibility to pass it on to other people too. Now, it can be a bit scary when we start to think of how everything we have that is good is a freely given gift from the Lord. Because if everything we have is a gift, well, does that mean we have a responsibility to give everything away? Right? Isn't that scary to think? Like, am I supposed to give away everything that I have? Because if I do that, I'm going to be left with nothing. I'm not going to have anything left for me or myself. But it's interesting, that desire to give everything away is the essence of heavenly love. It's the essence of what it means to be heavenly, is to want what is yours to belong to other people. I want to share a passage from the teachings of the New Church, from the book called Secrets of Heaven, and it describes this love and what it's like. It is the heavenly of love, or in other words, it is heavenly and loving, not to desire to be one's own, but to belong to all, so that we desire to give others all that is our own. And this consists the essence of heavenly love. Now, that's an incredibly beautiful sentiment, right? Oh, wow, imagine if we had this feeling of, I want everything that I have, I just want to give it all away for other people to have. It's also really hard to fathom how we could get there. I doubt very many of us feel that way right now. That, yeah, like every last thing I have, I want to give away, and I have nothing left for myself. But in thinking about this, we should remember that if this is the essence of love, it's also something the Lord feels. The Lord is love itself. The Lord has this attitude. That passage actually continues to say, the Lord, being love itself, or the essence and life of the love of all in the heavens, wills to give to the human race all things that are his, which is signified by his saying that the Son of Man came to give his life a ransom for many. The Lord has this feeling. He wants everything that he has to be ours, to benefit us, to be shared with us. Everything good in the entire universe he wants to share with you. He is constantly striving to fill you up with love, to inspire you with wisdom, to guide you to being useful and of service to others. And above all, he gives himself, he gives his life for us all. And that's not just something he did. It's not like the Lord gave his life 2,000 years ago It's the Lord is constantly striving to give his life to us every single day. He's pressing to serve you. He's alongside of you in all your hardship. He's carrying you through all sorrow. He's empowering you to succeed, even when you can't feel it, even when you feel like you're failing. He's there giving you everything that he has. And if we're willing to work on giving away what we have, we're not actually going to be left with nothing, right? Because if we're giving things away, the Lord is going to give us back even more. He wants to give us everything good, all of his infinite eternal love. So the more we give away, actually the more we will have, not the less. Now, that's easier said than done. Very easy for me to stand up here and say, this is amazing, just give everything away and then you'll be filled up with things to replace it. It certainly doesn't feel like that. Are we really supposed to take, you know, are you supposed to, at the end of the month, take your entire salary and donate it to a charity? Are you supposed to dedicate every last minute of your day to your family so you have zero time for yourself? I don't think that's what this is saying. I don't think it's saying do exactly that. And there may be something of an answer for how we can understand this in a practice from the Old Testament around first fruits or the firstborn. Whenever the children of Israel brought in a new harvest, the very first part of that harvest was taken to the Lord and was sacrificed to the Lord. Likewise, whenever an animal gave birth, that first animal that was born was given to the Lord and sacrificed. And the owner then is losing part of his harvest, right? He's giving it away. He doesn't have it anymore. He's losing this animal. He doesn't have that animal anymore. But it would only be a portion, right? He gets to keep the rest. He gets to keep and use the rest. But the symbolism spiritually is an acknowledgement that all of the harvest and all of the animals were from the Lord and belonged to the Lord. Right? So even though they're only giving the first one to the Lord, it's acknowledging this is all yours. This all belongs to you, Lord. It's not mine. It doesn't really belong to the farmer. It doesn't really belong to the herdsman. They're just given the use of it. It's like they're stewards, you know, managing their master's goods. This can be a really important lesson for us in how we think of giving things away. It is important that we literally do give some things away, right? We have to give away some of the resources we've been blessed with. But it's equally, if not more important, that we remember that even the things we don't literally give away are not strictly speaking our own. And we are obligated to use them in service to others. Okay, so just like the children of Israel would take their harvest and literally give away a portion to acknowledge that all of it belongs to the Lord, we can give away some of our resources, but we also need to acknowledge all of our resources need to be put in service to the Lord. And that can, you know, that can extend to very mundane things. I mean, the petrol you put in your car to get to work, the groceries you buy for your family, the extra money you set aside for a holiday. You know, those are things that we don't need to, you know, literally give those all away. You need petrol for work. You need food to eat. You need, you know, maybe you can put aside a little money for a holiday. It's all fine to keep those things, but we should remember that they have been given into our care so that we can better serve those around us and the Lord. It's not like we give away a portion and that belongs to the Lord, and we keep a portion and that belongs to us. We give away a portion to acknowledge that everything's the Lord, but even the stuff we keep, we remember, this is actually the Lord's too, and I need to serve the Lord in how I use this. Now that doesn't just apply to material resources. It applies to spiritual wealth as well. And that's the real spiritual meaning of those first fruits. We are responsible for using our skills, our talents, our passions, our intelligence in service to other people. The Lord has given us all those things so that we can be better servants, that we can be better stewards. So we've gone from an attitude of gratitude, right? None of this is ours, so we can be grateful. We've now arrived at an attitude of responsibility, because it's not mine, I now am responsible to share it with other people. And I want to wrap up by combining those two ideas into one, seeing how gratitude and responsibility can really rely on each other and support each other, and that you actually need both of them. The Lord brings those ideas together in the image of a fruitful branch. This is from the Gospel of John. The Lord compares us to the branches of a vine. He says, "I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." I'm going to put up here an image of a vine, because that's what the Lord's really talking about. I have a branch. This is not obviously from a vine. This is actually from a mango tree, I think. But I want to think about this, because we're the branches. And the branch has to abide in the vine. You know, in this case, I've cut it off, so this is going to all die because it's not attached to the trunk anymore. But in theory, it needs to rely on the trunk. But it also needs to bear fruit, right? If it just sits here drawing energy from the trunk and putting out beautiful leaves, but never fruits, it's not serving its purpose. So the branch, to be a good branch, needs to draw on the vine and put forth fruit. It needs to do both of those things. Likewise, we have to rely on the Lord and be of service to others. And so let's think about what would happen if one of those were lacking. If we just rely on the Lord and we bask in this sense of gratitude and we say, everything's from the Lord, I acknowledge it's all from the Lord, I love that it's all from the Lord, I'm so grateful that it's all from the Lord, we're going to actually become passive. If all we have is gratitude, and we don't actually do anything with it, no one's going to benefit from it, even us. That's why the passage says if the branch doesn't bear fruit, it gets cut off and replaced. We actually lose the things that we are grateful for if we're not using them. Now, on the other hand, if we think of ourselves as a branch and we just think, I'm just going to produce fruit, I'm not going to rely on the vine, I'm not going to rely on the Lord, we're going to put all our effort into this responsibility and we're going to fall short. Because without the Lord on our side, we won't succeed. And even if we do feel like we succeed without the Lord, there's going to be an element of pride in it. We're going to take credit. We're going to say, I did this all on my own. You know, look how great I am. This is all me. And it's actually the Lord is the only one giving you the ability to do it. So we need to be that branch that is balanced, where we have gratitude for what we've been given, you know, drawing on the vine, that's the Lord, but we're also producing fruit. We're also using what we've been given. We have a responsibility. What I've been given belongs to others. It's not about me. Now, I am sure that everyone here, like I said at the beginning, has worked hard for some of the things that you have in your life, especially as parents or as grandparents or as family members. You have poured so much love and care and work and effort into your family. And that you have been able to do that work and bear fruit in that way is not just a responsibility, right? It's not just an obligation. You don't serve your children out of pure responsibility or obligation. It is a gift to get to be a parent. It is a gift to get to be a grandparent. It is a gift to be a family member, to love the people around you. And so at the end of the day, even the responsibility we have to other people is a gift for which we can be grateful. So it really isn't, we're grateful for what the Lord gives us, and we can be responsibly giving it away and serving others. It's we can be grateful for what the Lord gives us, and we can be grateful that we get to give it away. That itself is a gift. We have the privilege of working together with the Lord in our own small way And when we do that, it does make a difference. It makes a difference for the people around us. It makes a difference for this world. Amen.